Hi, I'm Francesca, a registered nutritional therapist, and you're listening to another episode of the Empowered Perimenopause podcast. Welcome. My aim is to bring you down-to-earth, conversational episodes that help you develop a deeper understanding of how your body's changing in your 40s, and most importantly, how you can support yourself throughout this wonderful transitional phase of your life. Join me for my solo episodes and also episodes with guests for fun, fresh, truthful chat on all things health and happiness in your 40s. And now onto the episode. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Empowered Perimenopause podcast with me, your host, Francesca. So this is episode 29 and today is all about a specific herbal supplement called Vitex that I wanted to talk to you about today and how it relates to your perimenopause journey, how it can support various symptoms and why you may have heard of it in terms of other people using it, in case you want to see if it's something that could benefit you. So if you've been listening to my podcast for a while, then you'll already know that the only way to make progesterone is to ovulate, and that a healthy menstrual cycle is one where you ovulate around halfway through, and then therefore you have a healthy luteal phase of menstrual cycle. So that's essentially the second half of the cycle where progesterone is continually released into your system, and then it drops just before your next period and your new cycle starts. So just to quickly recap then, because I have talked about progesterone in many episodes before, specifically episode 9, if you haven't listened to that yet, that one is dedicated to progesterone. But progesterone is so, so important for us. It's always important at any age, but especially in perimenopause. So I just want to quickly recap why it's so important. So progesterone lightens our periods, reduces inflammation, regulates immune function, supports healthy thyroid, brain, bones, breasts. So it shelters breast tissue from estrogen, which helps to prevent breast pain, but also estrogen-driven cancer. Progesterone is basically a nervous system tonic. It's a calming, anti-anxiety, sleep support hormone, and it's considered a neurosteroid, so a brain hormone, because it's so helpful for the brain. And there's a lot more new research now coming out about its benefits for bone health. And obviously, later stages of perimenopause and definitely into menopause itself, postmenopause, there is a big risk there in osteoporosis risk. So we already know that estrogen is very bone protective. And we have known that progesterone is bone protective, but the new research that's coming out lately just really does bring that home about how important, how helpful progesterone can be for bone health, particularly in new research, they're looking at spine health. So yeah, very, very important on so many different levels. Brain, anti-anxiety, sleep is one of the biggest things that we start to kind of biggest areas of where we start to notice issues in early 40s. And that can be due to the decline in progesterone that starts around anywhere from late 30s onwards. So when we don't make progesterone, whether it's once every so often in a menstrual cycle, or whether it's every single menstrual cycle, whether it's most of them, if we don't make progesterone, then the second half of our cycle, we can be left feeling anxious, more sensitive to stress. We might start having trouble sleeping. And it's really common to notice these three things: the anxiety, more sensitive to stress, more sensitive to your life, your life load, and trouble sleeping. Really common to start noticing these sort of late 30s, early 40s. I definitely did from around age 41, started to notice trouble sleeping in the second half of my cycle, feeling anxious in a way that I've never really experienced anxiety before. So it was all quite new to me, and the sleep issues were pretty horrible when I was 41. But I got a handle on it quite quickly because I figured out what was going on, and have since been able to support my menstrual cycles month after month after month to make sure that I'm making progesterone. So we'll talk about that. That's what this episode is about, how Vitex can help you to do that. So another thing we might notice in the luteal phase of our cycle, if we haven't made progesterone, is that we might have more or worse PMS symptoms before our next period. So we might have a couple of weeks of that's in that second half of the cycle where we might be feeling that anxiety, more sensitive to stress, trouble sleeping. And then in the couple of days before our period, worse or new, you know, more PMS, particularly breast pain, mood issues, even in the form of like rage and anger, irritability, and then a heavy, horrible period when it arrives, due to the fact that progesterone didn't come along to help lighten our periods, and also to support the estrogen from getting into the breast tissue and causing that breast pain. So very important that we have both of those hormones throughout the menstrual cycle. Progesterone, as I said, we only make that when we ovulate, so we only have that in the second half of the cycle. So in terms of talking about why Vitex can support us in perimenopause, so in the earlier stages of perimenopause, so late 30s, mid 40s, supplementing with Vitex, which is also known as chaste tree berry, chaste berry, or Vitex agnus castus. You may have heard any of those names. It's all the same thing, but I'm just, for the sake of ease of this episode, I'm just going to refer to it as Vitex. So supplementing with Vitex, it can be helpful for ovulation and progesterone production. So it doesn't seem to work quite as well in the later stages of perimenopause. The closer a woman gets to reaching menopause itself, it might not be as helpful, just because as we really do acutely start to approach menopause itself, having those ovulatory cycles just does become harder and harder. And sometimes Vitex just isn't enough to make that happen. But it's definitely worth a try in those earlier stages. Now, I've personally been using Vitex since I turned 40, so just over 5 years now. And I've been ovulating every month according to my daily basal temperature tracking. And lack of, or less sort of lower intensity of the various symptoms that are linked with not making enough progesterone or not making any. So I don't really, like I said, when I was around 41, I started to notice. So just before I started to use Vitex, actually, so maybe sort of 40 and a half or something, I started to notice trouble sleeping, a bit of anxiety in the second half of my cycle. Very, very sensitive to stress in a way that I hadn't experienced before. And that was all completely new to me. And I started to explore the fact that it might be that I haven't ovulated on those particular months, because it wasn't every month, it was just sometimes. And it was always on a particularly stressful month. And we do know that stress is a big reason why we don't ovulate. So I thought, okay, potentially I'm starting to see this decline in progesterone already. And then that's when I started to look into using Vitex and how it could be quite powerful in those earlier stages of perimenopause that I was indeed in. And like I said, I'm still using it now at 45. It does still seem to be being very helpful. So I can actually say that, of course, I still get the odd month when I don't manage to ovulate, but I can honestly still count them on one hand in the last 5 years. The amount of months, amount of cycles that I've had where I haven't ovulated, it's probably been about 4 or 5. And there's always been a very, very like obvious reason why I've been particularly stressed that month, or, you know, going through something emotionally challenging. I'm certainly making less progesterone now than I probably would have done in my 30s or even my earlier 40s, now at 45. But I am at least making some, which is more than if I'd not intervened with things like Vitex and also the supportive lifestyle habits that I do that promote ovulation that I talk about all the time. So again, go back and listen to episode 9 if you haven't already, where I really do talk more about this. So what exactly is Vitex? So it's a herbal medicine prepared from the berries of the Mediterranean tree Vitex agnus castus, hence why it's also referred to as just agnus castus itself. And that tree is also referred to as chaste tree. So Vitex has been shown to support or sort of modulate the brain's production of luteinizing hormone, LH, whilst it at the same time mildly inhibits follicle stimulating hormone, FSH. And that supports the ovulatory process to actually occur. And therefore, that results in the production of progesterone. So it's a lovely hormone balancing herb because, of course, hormone balance is having estrogen and progesterone throughout the cycle, not just estrogen. And we can only make progesterone if we ovulate. So I do really love Vitex for this. And as I said, I would use it at any stage in life. You know, younger women in their 30s who are having trouble regulating their cycle, even people who are having missing cycles, for example, it can be really helpful. And then also, as I said, earlier stages of perimenopause, when we do naturally start to ovulate less, we can intervene at this point in these earlier years of perimenopause to support our body to ovulate when it wouldn't have if we hadn't intervened. But as I said, those later years of perimenopause leading up to when we will actually reach menopause, go sort of 12 months without having a period, it's less likely to have any real benefits at that point. But so going back to exactly what Vitex is, so you know now it's a herbal medicine, basically prepared from those berries of this Mediterranean tree, Vitex agnoscastus. And it's thought to regulate what's called the hypothalamic pituitary ovarian axis. So we'll shorten that to HPO axis. So HP is the hypothalamic, the hypothalamus in the brain, and the pituitary gland in the brain. So HP is the brain, and the O stands for ovarian, and axis essentially means a connection, a communication connection in this instance. So the HP, so the brain to ovary communication connection, communication between the brain and the ovaries. So this HPO axis is a system, it's a really important system that controls the menstrual cycle and the release of hormones throughout the cycle, basically. So women and girls, as I said, who aren't having periods for whatever reason could benefit from Vitex, because lack of periods in people, if you're not on the oral contraceptive pill or the injection or the implant, which those medications basically block that HPO axis. It shuts off that communication between the brain and ovaries so that we don't ovulate. But for anyone who isn't on any of those medications and they aren't having a period, it may be due to this breakdown in this HPO axis. So putting Vitex in can be quite helpful to bring that back online, that communication axis. Vitex is traditionally used to alleviate PMS symptoms like mood swings, breast pain, breast tenderness, bloating, all of which can be a result, obviously, of lack of ovulation, lack of progesterone, because we know that progesterone comes along in that second half of the cycle to make sure that those symptoms don't happen, basically. Vitex has been shown to support healthy dopamine levels in the brain. It supports fertility because essentially it promotes ovulation. It normalizes the menstrual cycle because it can improve that HPO axis, get it back online or get it nicely in better regulation. It can reduce prolactin levels in women with PCOS and therefore improve PCOS symptoms, which is often associated with HPO axis dysfunction as well. So although Vitex can be beneficial though for PCOS, polycystic ovary syndrome, because it modulates luteinizing hormone and prolactin, I definitely just caution this with anyone with a proper diagnosis of PCOS, just in case their LH levels are elevated too high. So if you are going to start, if you've had an official diagnosis of PCOS, you know, you're struggling with ovulation, you want to try Vitex, I would just suggest that you speak to your doctor and get your LH levels tested before you start using it. Just make sure it's okay. So the incredible HPO axis, that brain to ovary communication line, supports the brain signaling to the ovaries every month, halfway through the menstrual cycle, to ovulate. And, you know, obviously no ovulation means no progesterone. And that means a menstrual cycle, or many of them, where estrogen is left unopposed without its protective partner, progesterone. And this is just far more likely for us late 30s, early 40s onwards. So it's really important that we support this HPO axis. Helpful to support it, as I said, any time in life, if there are disruptions, if there are issues with the menstrual cycle or suspected issues with ovulation. But, you know, early stages of perimenopause up to, like I said, I'm still using it at just over 45 and it still seems to be doing the trick for me. So in those earlier sort of 5 years of your 40s and, you know, the couple of years late 30s as well, it can just be really helpful to get that HPO axis really well online. And so the brain does send those signals down to the ovaries and tell them to ovulate. As well as supporting the ovulatory process, helping us to obviously make ovulation more likely during those earlier years of perimenopause, Vitex can also promote overall well-being because it may also have calming effects on the brain and the nervous system. So as I said earlier, it's this nervous system tonic, also known as a neurosteroid, a brain hormone that supports the brain. It supports obviously cognition and things like that, and memory, but also calming of the brain and calming of the nervous system, hence why we call it this anti-anxiety calming hormone that can also support sleep. So not only will these things help us to feel better and feel calmer, but of course, it's also going to have a positive impact on ovulation, because we know that one of the biggest reasons for why women don't manage to ovulate is due to stress and nervous system dysregulation. Now, we say that in perimenopause, one of the natural characteristics is the fact that we start to ovulate less. But that doesn't mean that we just lay down and accept that and say, oh, well, you know, it's just nature. Of course, it is nature. But one of the biggest reasons why women don't manage to ovulate any stage in their life is stress. But that will be way more impactful when you're in perimenopause, because we're already at a stage where ovulation is harder, becoming harder to achieve. So if we can support our stress, we can help relieve some of the pressure that's creating a worsening of the situation of you know, not being able to ovulate as easily as we did before. So why would we not try to intervene and have more years with progesterone than we would have done if we didn't intervene? So anything as well that's going to help us to ovulate and make progesterone is also going to help prevent those, as I said earlier, those heavy painful periods, clotty periods, relieve symptoms like breast pain, water retention, anxiety and irritability. So really, really helpful herb to, and it's also quite affordable as well. There's lots of different brands out there. I quite like Gaia Herbs. I think that's spelled G-A-I-A. Solaray is a nice brand as well. I can't think off the top of my head. I should have had a look before I recorded, but I can maybe put some in the show notes, some brand ideas. So just some tips of how to use Vitex if you do want to give it a try. So the brain is going to be more receptive to Vitex in the morning. So take it as part of your morning routine. I take a couple of capsules of my Solaray one. I flick between that one and the Gaia Herbs. I take a couple of capsules every morning, which is about 1,000 milligrams of Vitex, if I remember rightly, every morning, just as, when I wake up, as part of my morning hydration. And then because Vitex works to promote ovulation, you should start taking it early in the follicular phase. So basically, that would be the first half of the cycle around day six. Around day six of your cycle, start it. So this is if you're going to first start using it, start it around day six, take it every morning, and then continue taking it until your period arrives, which is day one of your next cycle. Have a little five, six day break, and then repeat the same thing every month. So you're basically having a 5 day break from day one of your period to day five. And then on day six, you're going to start taking it again, and so on until your period arrives, which is day one of your next cycle, and you stop taking it for 5 days and start again. And that 5 day break helps to keep its effects strong and prevent them from wearing off over time if we don't have the break. Now, you might need to use it for, I'd say, you know, try it for at least 3 months before you say that it hasn't worked, and then up to 6 months. So I tend to advise my one-to-one clients to take it for 6 months. And in the meantime, also be working on the other things, like, you know, managing stress that really do support support ovulation as well, and just have this extra support from Vitex. Essentially, you can then, after those 6 months, maybe just trial. Sometimes I'll just stop for a month or two and see how I go, and then I go back onto it again for another 6 months. So again, having that little break between those 3 to 6 months of using it will help, same as that 5 day break every month, just helps to keep its effects strong and prevent them from wearing off from like long-term use without any breaks. So as well as considering using Vitex, there's obviously other reasons why women would struggle to ovulate, and this would be the case at any age, not just in perimenopause. But like I said, because perimenopause, it is a natural time where we do start to ovulate less, it doesn't mean that we should just lay down and accept that. There are still other things that can cause us to not ovulate as much as well. So if we can support that, which one of those things would be using Vitex, managing stress, but then there might be other reasons why somebody isn't managing to ovulate as often. It could be, for example, things like having underlying chronic inflammation going on in the body, and those underlying causes aren't being addressed because potentially you don't know what they are. So because inflammation, any sort of minor, major, doesn't matter, you know, inflammation will block ovulation. So I don't know, for example, if you've ever had COVID or a horrible flu like that, that month if you're somebody who's tracking your ovulation. So me personally, when I had COVID, I did not ovulate that month. And I wasn't surprised because this acute inflammatory response is very stressful on the body and inflammation blocks ovulation. So I knew I probably wouldn't ovulate in that next cycle and I didn't. And then I went back to ovulating month after month after month, and I had COVID again about 2 years later. And again, that particular cycle, I didn't manage to ovulate because I track it, so I knew that. Also, something else that could be causing low-grade underlying inflammation can be an unknown cow's dairy sensitivity. So I tend to advise clients, and I do this myself, we just use sheep's and goat's cheese instead of regular cow's milk cheese. So I love Manchego cheese, for example. Unfortunately, I hate goat's cheese, but if you like it, then that's great because it's from goat rather than cow. And essentially, why that's helpful is that sheep and goat's dairy doesn't have the potentially inflammatory A1 casein protein that you find in cow's milk. So it's just a helpful way if you still want to keep some dairy in your diet, then looking with using sheep and goat's milk instead is less inflammatory, if not inflammatory at all for most people. An unknown gluten sensitivity as well can be at play. So if for someone that relies on gluten, for example, bread and sandwiches and things like that, maybe just trial reducing that and seeing if that helps you even, you know, you'd sort of notice feeling better anyway. Things like mast cell activation syndrome, histamine issues, a leaky gut, thyroid issues, insulin resistance. I won't go into these in this episode, but these are just things to consider that could be at play. You know, it could be blocking inflammation. I do talk about insulin resistance in episode 12. So if you want to go back and listen to that, if you haven't yet, that might be helpful because that insulin resistance and stress are probably the most common. And then inflammation as well, probably quite common. I'll do a separate episode on leaky gut and histamine issues as well and thyroid over the next kind of coming weeks. We also want to make sure that just generally day to day, we're properly nourished with enough calories coming from quality proteins, fiber-rich carbohydrates, enough healthy fats with every meal, getting all the right nutrients in the diet like iodine, selenium, B vitamins, zinc, magnesium. These are all really important for proper ovulation. And as I've said already, managing your stress, supporting your sleep. I've done a few episodes on stress and sleep. So episodes 8, episodes 14, 15 and 23 have been really helpful episodes to listen to, very hopefully practical advice in there in terms of supporting your sleep and stress. So before I finish, just to say like how I track my ovulation is as I mentioned it earlier, but I take my baseline body temperature basically every morning when I wake up. So next to my bed, I've just got one of those digital thermometers that I got off Amazon. It's right by my bed on my bedside table. As soon as I open my eyes in the morning, I just put it under my tongue. It takes maybe 2 or 3 minutes to read. So it's actually quite nice because it just allows me to just lie there and I just do some deep breathing while it's in my mouth. And then I log that. I don't even log it anymore, but I used to just log the temperature in my cycle tracking app on my phone. And what I'm looking for, and I've been doing this for 5-6 years now. So again, I've stopped tracking it because I just know in my head what I'm looking for. I'm looking for from day one of my cycle, so the first day of my period, up to roughly day 14, 15, when I usually ovulate, I'm looking for a kind of lower body temperature, my sort of normal baseline body temperature, which is, for me is around 36.2 degrees Celsius. I'm not sure what that is in Fahrenheit, I'm afraid. So 36.2 for me for those 2 weeks. It could be anywhere between 36.1, 2, 3, 4. And then I get a small spike in temperature after around the day that I was due to ovulate, which for me is around day 14 or 15. And that spike, so for me, it goes from around 36.2 degrees Celsius up to about 36.6. And it stays that I get that sustained spike until the day before my next period arrives. So that suggests that I had a spike in body temperature because I ovulated and I made progesterone, because progesterone increases our body temperature. And it also suggests that because I sustained that spike in temperature for the next kind of 12, for me, it's like 10, 12, 13 days until my next period comes, that means I've probably had progesterone in my system that whole time. So I successfully ovulated, successfully made progesterone, and it drip fed into my system for the remainder of my luteal phase until I came on again. and so on. So that's what I've been doing literally every day, every month for the last sort of 5 or 6 years. And I can count, as I said, on one hand, the amount of times I haven't had that temperature spike. My temperature's just stayed the same all month. And that suggests that I didn't ovulate, didn't make progesterone, so I didn't get that increase in temperature. So if you are interested in tracking your baseline body temperature every day to see if you're ovulating, you can just put that in, just Google it. You know, if you just want a little rundown or a YouTube video of how to do it, but that's essentially what you do. So that is it for this episode. I really hope it's been helpful. And if you have any questions at all, please do get in touch. You can email me or Instagram me. Those details will be in the show notes. And if you're finding these episodes helpful, I'd really love it if you'd take a minute to leave me a review, a rating, preferably a 5-star rating, and a review, even just one line would be really appreciated. It would just mean so much and really help to get the podcast seen by more people. Unless you have ratings, it's, you know, these algorithms, how they work, because it's essentially their free platforms. The podcast platforms will obviously show my episodes to more people, the more ratings I've got. So I'd really, really appreciate it. And again, I hope this has been helpful and I will see you next week. Bye-bye.
If you found this episode helpful, then please share it with anyone else who you think could benefit. And consider leaving a rating and a review, as this will help the podcast to reach and help more people. And if you need more guidance on your own health journey, you can grab my free guide, 6 Steps to Mastering Your Hormones in Your 40s, over at francescaliparotti.com, where you can sign up for your free copy. Or you'll also find the link in the show notes.